You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, Hannies. It's Amir Yasai, and you're back for season two of The Take On. Hi, y'all. It's Amir Yas with The Take On. I'm here with, I've been so excited to talk to you, Jill Zarin, OG housewife, businesswoman, mother. You're just so many things. Author. It's amazing. How are you?
I'm great, Amir. Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much.
Of course, we all miss you on Roni. I think that every time we see you, we're just like, oh, yes, gives us that dose we need.
Yeah, I miss it too. It was a lot of fun.
That's amazing. What does it feel like to be like an OG? Every time I talk to any Bravo fan, we're always talking about the OGs, you know, and you're on that list, of course, like just for the fans.
Because I think that you only remember the names. And obviously I'm much more in it than a regular fan, right? Because I was in it. I don't even know the names of all the extra housewives they've had on Roni over the years. I know some of them. Like I know Aviva, we became friends. Some of them we became friends. Kristen, we became friends. But some of the girls, I don't know. They never stuck. You know, like some people stick. And even on the other shows, you know, there's Teresa. There's some girls who stick. Teresa. Right. Lisa Rinna, Lisa Vanderpump, Nene, and Cynthia. But, you know, the OGs.
Wow. We love the OGs. You saw it with Orange County. The minute Tamara was gone, the show just nosedived.
I don't even know how you get ratings. Do you get ratings? Can you see them as someone in the media side? Do you get the ratings?
Yeah, I do get the ratings. We can definitely see the ratings. There's this really great Instagram called TV Deets, DETS. They always do the ratings for all the Bravo shows. So I love to see those.
So yeah, below deck. How are the ratings? Well, first of all, it's kind of unfair, right? Because the ratings back in the day when I was on were the day of. And then I heard I call it cheating. They cheated. They didn't do apples to apples, and they compared, especially my season, which was one day ratings, and then they made it 3 days of watching, which was the rating, which is fair. But in fairness to it not being fair, the watchers watch more likely not live, but they might watch it a day later. So that was really what they were accounting for. What I think it was really accounting for is that the ratings were terrible, and the only way to make them look decent was to add up more days. And that's not just Bravo. That's any network. But they call it day plus three or something. But then, you know, with TiVo and Netflix and all these other things. And now they have what's it called? Peacock, where you can pull it up on demand. And a lot of people bought it on Hulu. So I don't know how you know ratings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of weird how they do it to get all those things together. But it's kind of amazing because I feel like people are rediscovering you, like, because they're seeing you on Hulu, then they're seeing it on Peacock. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter where people are just like, oh my god, Jill Zarin's the best, and I'm like, I know, really? Like
you forward that to me, it'll make me feel good, you'll make my day, thank you.
I mean it. I don't say anything. Listen, I'm Persian, we don't usually we like to cut right into it, so I wouldn't tell you something that wasn't.
I was gonna say, you have the same name as, since you brought it up, you have the same name as the guy on 90 Day Fiancé.
I do. Amir is the John of the Middle East. So everyone's named Amir.
Anyway, isn't that funny? I'm addicted to that show.
Oh my god, it's so good. Speaking of that, you know, like what other shows are you binging right now other than 90 Day Fiancé?
Don't tell anybody, right? Because no one's listening. Don't tell anybody, but I'm actually paying the extra $4.95 for the new streaming, which you know really works. They put a box on the TV. On the show in the top right corner that says stream for $4.95 if you want to get 1,000 hours of 90 Day Fiancé. They leave it there. And I bought it.
You are so funny. Oh my God. That cracks me up.
I'm watching so many series and I would love to get more. The more the better. So I'm watching week to week now because I caught up with Your Honor. That's probably my number one.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it or know
I
about
haven't.
It. Oh my God, with Bryan Cranston, who's probably the best actor of all time, in my opinion.
He's wonderful.
Actor. He really is. He's unbelievable. And then Bling, on Netflix, and that's about that's like an Asian Real Housewives. But
oh, I love that show. I was talking to Anna Shea the other day. We were DMing. She's hilarious.
Oh, love her. Love her. I just love her laid back, cool vibe.
Oh my God. And she's just so amazing. And just the way she kind of glides through life. I'm just
God. No, I love her when she didn't have a bra on. She's just sitting there owning it.
Amazing. And
I, you know, just fuck it. You know,
that's she's amazing. She's amazing. Speaking of owning it, I want to ask you about Leah McSweeney. What are your thoughts about her? She's kind of really jumped into Roni. What are your thoughts?
She did a fantastic job becoming a lead. Like she in one season went from, you know, at the end of the pack to the leader. And that's not easy to do on Housewives, you know. But I also think that the girls, the OGs, let her because they're tired. You know, I'm not kidding. They've been doing this for 13 years.
Wow.
Seasons. Yeah, it is seasons, but years, because you only do one a year. So, you know, in the beginning, what do they call? They, you know, you cut a bitch. What's that expression? I think, I don't know the expression, but they, but that, you know, everybody was very competitive. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
I remember there were years where it's like you wanted to be full time and God forbid you were asked to be part time. That was like a big slap in the face and like, I'm a loser. I can't believe they wouldn't make me full, like that kind of thing. And now they fight to be a friend because they don't want to do the work. You know, that they want to glide through the show and not have to do the reunion and not have to fight with anybody. So if so, my point is like in the beginning, you wanted to be the queen bee and the peacock, so to speak. And now they've been doing this 13 years. All they want to do is get their paycheck and get out. So they'll if they have to have drama, you know, they'll have drama. But if someone else will have it, great. I don't have to do the heavy lifting. I could just glide by.
So,
and that's one of the reasons I'm pretty sure that the show changes, you know, people, because when they start to see girls, you know, just trying to slide by, they don't want to keep them.
So that makes sense. I mean, it's a full-time affair. Like, did you feel relieved when you walked away or like, were you just like,
no, I mean, at the time I didn't feel relieved. I was angry, you know, I was angry because, I had quit. Because I have, you know, terrible like ADD and anxiety and all that stuff, which really I never had diagnosed. And thinking back now, I definitely had bad anxiety issues that I should have like been treated for. And and also I wasn't in, I wasn't a Hollywood person. I didn't understand the business, even though I had been on a few years. No one ever really, you know, if you don't go to acting school and you're not an actor and it's not your life, You don't know. Well, you don't know what you don't know, right? You don't know about agents. And you just don't know. And I didn't know that networks, that it's normal for a network to not tell you something until they feel like it. You know, I work in business in my own, I'm my own boss. I didn't understand it. And it drove me insane because I'm trying to plan my life like a normal person does. But they weren't, they hadn't decided whether they were doing another season, which is funny now, right? 13 years later, but they weren't sure they were doing another season, even though I thought they would. And even though I thought they, you know, I'd be back, I needed an answer because we wanted to book a 3-week trip if we weren't. And Bobby was really pushing me and he didn't love doing the show. I mean, it was fun. It was fine, but he didn't really love it. He wasn't on much. He'd rather travel. He was already diagnosed as having cancer. And he, you know, so I was asking and asking and they wouldn't give an answer. So I like quit, but I didn't really mean it. So I never followed it up. And then they fired me.
Wow. So they,
you know, and I don't know why I was shocked, but I was shocked. I shouldn't have been because I quit, but they fired me. Anyway, it was a long time ago. It was a great learning experience. And I believe that there's a reason for everything. And it was in hindsight, it was definitely my time to move on because I moved on to better things. You know, I started my own business. I have my own brand. I never could have done that had I stayed on the show.
Absolutely.
You know,
and Andy Cohen talked about that too.
I took care of Bobby at the end that I couldn't have done if I was on a show.
And that must have been like, and that's like, that's like your real life. I think sometimes people forget, right? When you're a reality star, they're like, you're just living your life, but there's cameras on you. I'm sure that can be very taxing, especially when you're going through something emotional. You're like, I don't want
not
that.
Really. I mean, I think, you know, listen, there are different types of reality shows, right? I mean, there are shows where you have 24-hour cameras and you literally, like 90 Day Fiance, I think I just saw something in like a reunion where I remember the interview, because I watch it and I'm working, so I don't hear everything, but I remember the interviewer said to the guy who's living in the country with the girl from Russia, I forgot his name, the young kid who's living with his parents.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember him.
They had sex in the car.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
and the interviewer, the woman, the Andy Cohn of it, said, like, didn't you know there were cameras? Like, why would you have sex in the car? And he was like, I forgot. Because they had them all around all the time, where housewives, that wouldn't have happened because you always knew when there were cameras around. They weren't trying to hide them or anything. You know, it was a different kind of show.
Got it. It was more in your face. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you totally knew when they, you know, you had a schedule.
Right.
You know, you had a, let's put it this way, you had a mic pack on you. Because to get audio on a reality show, you got to have a mic. Now they're hidden in your shirt and your hair, whatever. But you've got a mic. That's why when you see girls from behind the bathing suit and you see this, you know, pack on their bra strap in the back, because they have audio. I mean, you understand the podcast, you have to have audio. Now, mind you, in his case, with the camera in the car, there must have been audio attached to the camera and it was running. I mean, that was weird. Like, I think the show should have shut it off, but they didn't.
Yeah, they don't hold back at all. I mean, speaking of that, I mean, there was a lot of iconic scenes like for Roni that you were in. What's one of your favorites? Like, was it a group trip? Like something that was really iconic that you...
I would say Morocco comes to mind top ahead. I loved it. I loved it. I just loved it. I loved being treated like a queen because, you know, they take good care of you. They put you in the house. They take care of all the food. They arrange all the dinners. They arrange everything. And it was just, you know, it's like being with your girlfriends, even though you don't always like all your girlfriends. It was a group that you, you know, had your few girls that you liked. You know, at that time it was Cindy Barshop and Luann, like, and they were my girls, and Kelly. So we had the best time. We really did.
I love that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I love that. And I know that you mentioned Aviva, but other housewives, who are you in contact most from your season?
Well, Luann.
Luann, okay.
Luann, for sure.
Well, Luann's come a long way. Have you met her new man? I love her man.
I think the new man might not be new anymore.
Oh, okay.
No, Luann, I don't know if he's around. I'm not sure.
We're not sure.
For that one.
Interesting. And then what about Ramona? Have you seen Ramona, talk to her recently?
No. But, you know, I watch her on Instagram and, you know, keep my, you know, gossip up to date.
Got it. She's, you know, she's ruffled a lot of feathers during COVID, but that's Ramona.
That's where I don't know. What did she do for this about not wearing a mask?
She wasn't wearing a mask. Obviously, you know, she could easily get a mask from your business. So
actually,
I don't know.
We did send Avery a lot of masks and Avery was very nice and posted about it. And I'm sure she gave some to her mom.
I'm sure she did. But, you know, it's okay. Everyone has to do their own thing, I guess. So, but speak to me a little bit about your masks. I love them. And they're, I've heard such good things. Like,
oh, thank you. I think our reviews are the reason why we're still in business. You know, it started at the beginning of the pandemic where we started donating food to hospitals. We called it Nauseous for Nurses, and Allie and I, you know, it was like a full-time job, and we would feed 3 to 5 hospitals a day, and I funded it, and then I raised money, and we raised $50,000-$60,000 on GoFundMe, and that was like our passion of what could we do during COVID when we were literally in lockdown. And then that evolved into masks. There was this great need for masks, and everybody I know is calling me. Do I know anyone who's got N95? And everybody's trying to make a buck, you know, and if I introduce A to B and then I can make a penny and they make a penny, and by the time you're done, but none of them worked, by the way. No, I don't think anybody made money that way. Thank God, because I didn't like it. Let the buyer who's paying get it from the supplier who makes, and everybody else should be cut out. You know, that's my feeling on the medical masks and all that stuff. So we were lucky enough to find a supplier who was making for the government in Vietnam. And the first opportunity that they were exporting, because in the beginning they were not exporting, just making it for their own country, we were able to get them. And luckily they were like the best. We did nothing. I mean, honestly, it was luck. We got the best mask. We did. It was the best fitting, the most comfortable, amazing. And that's how it started. And then we had supply of that. And then we started tie-dyeing them because we didn't want to buy masks. So we bought tie-dye. A friend of mine showed us how to tie-dye, and we were doing it with rubber bands because that's how you tie-dye clothes. And I swear my fingers were like bleeding. They weren't, but they could have been. And, you know, making the rubber bands and then cutting them and dipping and dipping and dipping and then letting it dry. And then it's like, you know, don't be ugly. Don't be ugly. You know, and when you open it, it's not ugly. You know, and that's why they were expensive, because we lost half of the ones that we made, and because they were ugly. And anyway, so that's how the mask business started, and, you know, grew. And now we sell mask chains, mask jewelry, drop dead. I have one that looks like Gucci. I have one that looks like Chanel. I have, you know, all these different, you know, pearl ones and different stones. I have a faux leather rope one for $18 in like 10 colors. And we sell a 3-pack, I think, for 36, something like that. I think we do six or something. We have great prices. We're always, you know, having something going on. Now I have mask bags that are so beautiful to put your mask in, and in different colors. And then we have sweatpants and sweatsuits that just dropped with a built-in mask in tie-dye color. Ooh. Unbelievable. We actually sold out of the largest the first day. We're getting a reorder in a few more, in a week.
Amazing.
And what else? Wow. We're doing candles that have the best sayings. And the one that did the best was it said Real Housewife in Training. And it was a collab with Ryan Porter. And we're doing collabs with different companies. We've got Something Navy, which is like this big website that curates people's collections. Putting up our stuff next week. So we're very excited about that. We're in retail stores. We're on Amazon. You can find us sometimes in a TJ Maxx, Home Goods arena, because we did some special things for them. So we didn't, you know, it's a mask. You know, we didn't want to leave anybody out of the most comfortable mask there is. And our reviews are unbelievable. And really, we have customers who bought from us 20 times.
That's amazing. You're a businesswoman. You know what you're doing. And I mean, I think that, you know, speaking of businesswoman, have you spoken recently to Bethany?
You know, no. No, I have not. But I did hear something funny. I heard that she was here New Year's Eve with some Siggy Flicker, I think, and that she was in the same community I live in, and that she's dating a guy who lives in the same community my parents live in.
Oh.
Which is really weird if it's true, because, yeah, you'd think she would have said hello. But, you know, it is what it is.
But, you know, when she came to Bobby's funeral, that was, like, really, like, a sweet moment for everyone. Like, and I think Ramona or someone said that it was for the cameras. I just want to hear it from you. It didn't seem like it.
It's not really the time or place to get into it. It's done and over, whatever it is.
Okay, as long as you guys are on good terms, that's what everyone wants to know. So that's what we're happy about. I want to ask you about Meredith Marks. I know that you guys are close, and there was a picture on in Palm Beach, and I was talking to her, and she is just so, like, such a fan of yours. And I know that. What do you think of the new season?
You know, I like it. I mean, I think that every season, the first season's the hardest. I think some of the girls, not Meredith, are trying too hard.
Yes.
I mean, would you say that?
Yeah, we can say that. I mean, I think personally, like,
do you think that?
I do. I think that, you know, Jen, I, even though I love her, I think she's trying a little too hard.
That's what I, that's the girl's name. I forgot her name.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just a little bit of yelling.
You don't have to try that hard. Like, well, like, for instance, when she was in that salt bath, which, by the way, if not for the show, would they have really been there?
No.
I mean, it was 4 hours away is what they said, right? But, okay, whatever. Let's say they were there. When she splashed that thing, you know, that was for the camera. Come on.
Yeah.
Really? You think she would have done that? She probably wouldn't have even gone. And I don't think she would have broken a glass because somebody said they were, she was talking about them. I mean, right. That's the name of the show is Housewives. That's the premise. You talk about each other and then you get in trouble when you hear what they said. That's the show, right? In the interviews and whatever, you know, and then you hear it and then you fight at the reunion. You said this, you said that. That is the show. If you take that away, what are you going to watch? So I just think that she just didn't have to do that, work that hard. You know, you don't have to work that hard to have drama when you're with women.
Exactly. That's true.
Do you think that hard?
You really don't. I mean, do you think it's a curse of like, because when y'all were doing the show, it was like you were in it. But I feel like a lot of people that go on it now, they like do their research. They watch like hours of Housewives. Like, it's almost like they go in being like, I need to do X, Y, and Z. Do you think that takes away from the authenticity?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, but I mean, you have to have some kind of roadmap. You can't just, although, you know, I think in the beginning, there really wasn't a roadmap because like season one, day one, you really don't know the relationships till you start filming, you know? And when you put new girls on the show, you don't know how they're going to fit in. It'll be interesting to see how the girls fit on the new season of Housewives of New York. They have some new girls.
Mm-hmm, so they do.
It'll be interesting to see how they, you know, because I don't think they knew them before the show. So it'll be interesting to see how they work that in.
Exactly. Like Ebony K. Williams, I know is becomes friends with Leah, but I mean, you know, let's see how she fits in. Yeah.
You know, how were the ratings for Salt Lake City?
They're pretty good. They just got renewed for a second season. So they must have been good enough that, you know, they got the, but I think a lot of people thought it was going to be like all about religion. And it seems like it's not necessarily always about religion. So that's refreshing.
Well, it's good that it brings the, well, you know, the black one, what's her name?
Mary.
Mary. She's quite a package.
Quite a character.
Did you see her bedroom?
That was crazy. I mean, some of that stuff, I was just like, oh my God, it's so, like, how do you live like that? So much clutter.
Her bedroom really looks like that, or she did that for the camera?
I really think that's what it looks like. Because remember, she couldn't even remember how many homes she had. So it's all very, like, she's a little out there.
Someone says that she does have money from her mother who passed, I guess, was a pastor and had a lot of money from whatever.
So yes. Her grandma. Mm-hmm.
Who was married to her husband.
Yes, which is all very convoluted.
It's very true.
It's a lot. I know that, you know, I want to wrap up with, I want to ask you, like, obviously you were on Roni, but is there any other cities that you're like, that looks fun? Like, those ladies look like they're having a good time. Like, any other franchises?
Well, obviously, that you would, I'm in, like, Florida now, Miami. You know, I'm with Marisol and some of the girls. Beverly Hills, I don't think I could keep up with the dressing. I like to look nice. But I don't want to spend 3 hours in the makeup chair and hair, and but not even hair and makeup. I could do that. The clothing would drive me crazy. That was the worst thing about being on the show, was that I had to have so many clothes, and it gave me a lot of anxiety. What fits? What doesn't fit? I have to get more. I need more. I don't have enough. I had to spend all this time and money getting clothes and shopping. I hated that. That I didn't like. Yeah. And I think the girls on Beverly Hills work really hard to look fabulous, and they look fabulous. But that's a lot of time and money and everything. And I just don't have that in me. So I love Beverly Hills, but I don't think I'm there. I don't know. I guess New York was where I should be. New York was in the right, I was in the right place. And I think Florida, because that's where I am. Those are my two.
Got it. Well, Miami's coming back. So maybe we'll see a little bit of you on that show.
Well, I'm a friend of Marisol, so you never know. But I'm very happy working on Jill and Allie as a brand. And Yeah. You know, it's something that we're growing and we're excited. We launched candles. We launched tie-dye socks. We launched sweatshirts with hoodie, with built-in masks. And of course, we have our mask line, but we have a lot of stuff. I just hired a full-time designer. And so we can have our real identity. But check out our website. I mean, we spend a lot of time and money making it look good. You know, it takes no idea what goes into. I'm sure you do. I say that facetiously. But like, it takes a lot to put out all this content on Shop Jill and Allie Instagram. It's beautiful. Mm. My daughter does all that. I have nothing to do with it. All of it she does. And she does a great job. So I'm very proud.
That's amazing.
It's a family business. And my rug line, Jill Zarin Rugs, took off the pandemic. Oh my God. I mean, the rugs, and I've got a shag line coming out in a few weeks. Then I've got a farmhouse collection. I call it English Country, coming out shortly after that. And then I added to my outdoor collection a bunch of pastels, which will be coming out after that. So we'll see.
That's amazing. Yeah, your rugs are iconic and amazing and such and so well-priced. I was on your website. I was like, oh my God.
Well, you know, everything I try to do in my brand is value-oriented. You know, you have to look for less type of thing, that you shouldn't go broke buying anything. Certainly not a rug. Because a rug, it's like shoes. You step on them, you ruin them. You know, that's
amazing. Yeah, exactly.
Why would you spend a lot of money on something you step on? It's like, should I take out my $2,000 dress and step on it? Why would you buy a rug for $10,000? You'd have to be an idiot. I mean, that's what I think, but.
I agree. I mean, you're going to spill wine on it. Oh, you're going to step on it.
And by the way, spill wine on mine. It comes right out.
I know. I saw that. I think it was Ramona or Sonia that were like, cleaning in their lingerie and your rug was in, they were like, it was like cleaning your rug. It was everything was coming
Sonia,
off.
Everything comes out of it. And my housewives have been great supporters. I send them everything and they post for me. They're really great. You know who loves my masks the most? Charlie and Dixie.
Oh, amazing. They're amazing.
The only mask they wear, and Addison Rae wears our mask. And they, you know, they don't always post it. I think they posted my name once, which is fine. Mm-hmm. We're happy to give it to them and they love them.
That's amazing. Feel good.
Wait till they get my sweats with a mask. I hope they like those.
Oh, the sweats with the mask is so key because you're always kind of losing the mask. So it's good that it's right there.
TikTok with it, I hope. That's what I hope.
Oh, that'll be cute, especially if it's tie-dye. They love anything tie-dye.
No, so. I know. And they've done such a great job. Wow. Look how
I love them. That's amazing. I know you need to skedaddle. I know you're just doing such amazing things. Everyone, go get the mask. I mean, they're amazing. There's so many things. The candles, the rugs. I mean, you're just doing it all. You're just an entrepreneur queen. Of course. We've loved having you on the Take On. Thank you, Jill. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/TheTakeOn, and of course on my Instagram at Amir Yass Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast, and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.